Thanks to our new sponsor, Factor. Factor delivers delicious, fresh, never frozen meals that are ready to heat and eat in 2 minutes. Head to go.factor75.com/TMS60 and use the code TMS60 to get 60% off your first box. Coming up on TMS, which way does your toilet flow?
I know him. He's a friend from the oven.
Hail Santa.
Genie.
There's something about your man.
Shepherd in space.
Genie is still having it.
It's no filth.
Dirt's for the bowl.
Mount Sanford and Son.
Oh my gorge.
Flabbergasted Flossie owners.
SeaTac, so tacky.
Immediate Marsha Gay Hardens.
Again with the plums.
Getting drilled with Bill and more on this episode of The Morning Stream.
All I want to do is save you money. And to prove it, you can put a waterbed on layaway for just $10 down. Okay, I did the finger bit again. Do it again. Wait a minute, we weren't ready to open. You caught me with my pants down. But no one sells carpet or waterbeds for less, and to prove it, you can put it on layaway for just $10.
Here's your homework, you lucky knob.
The Morning Stream. Good. Real good.
Good morning. Welcome back to TMS. It's Tuesday, December 6th, 2022. I'm Scott Johnson, and that is Brian Ibbett.
Hello.
Holy crap. It's Brian Ibbett, everybody.
It's me.
What a catch. What a catch this is for the show to get to get Brian Ibbett. It's amazing. Thank you for taking time out of your crazy celebrity career to be here today.
That's what I do. I'm happy to hang out with the little people.
Yeah, you don't want to forget where you came from, you know? You got to hang out with us. It's good to have you, of course, and all of you at home listening. I'll get this out of the way early. Of course, very regular person to our community and a very important moderating force in our community. Mm-hmm. Yes. Jeannie had a birthday today.
Happy birthday! She still does. She's still having it.
Yeah, she's still having it. There's no had. It's only have. And
still celebrating it.
I hope your husband does something nice for you, and maybe those puppets you guys have. I hope they do something nice for you.
That'd be cool. Sing happy birthday to you.
Yeah, all that stuff. Here's that little kid.
Happy birthday to you.
We'll give you the whole treatment here, Jeannie. Congratulations on rotating around the sun yet one more time.
and that's not the last we'll hear of it. There might be something at the end of the show for as well.
Requesty.
Might be.
Okay, well, get your music on, everybody, because later Jeannie's name rises from the ashes once again. All right.
All right.
Let's get going here. We got I want to just read this email fast because it's kind of a nothing burger of an email, but I'm annoyed by it, and I want Jeff to...
I love it.
I want Jeff to write back. Okay.
Yeah, so, okay.
Jeff Sire, aka Bronco, wrote in. He says, Scott, just listening to Core, do you want an explanation about water direction north versus south of the equator? So, we got into a conversation about the whole myth, or is it a myth, that toilets flush differently below the equator?
Right. The water goes counterclockwise versus clockwise, depending on which hemisphere you are.
Yes. And though I don't think I've ever been. I don't think even southern China is below the equator. So I don't think I've ever actually been below the equator, unless Tijuana or parts of Mexico count, because I have been there. But I've never been to, like, South America or even Central.
Yeah, it has to be South. South America is where Ecuador technically is where the equator passes through.
So Cancun, not low enough, right?
Still not low enough, okay. No.
Australia
was.
Yeah, Australia was. And so did you, when you were in Australia, you've been. Did the toilet go a different way? Did you notice?
We can wait. Let's wait until Jeff talks about it.
Well, we can. It's
the Coriolis effect.
So in your mind, this is the reason I'm establishing this. You're saying yes, it does go the other direction.
It does, but there's so much. It's the toilet is a bad example because any imperfections in the way the water comes out of the rim cause the water to go in whatever direction it's going to go. You can make water go counterclockwise or clockwise in a North American toilet just because of the way the water comes out of the brim.
Right.
But the Corollis effect is real. It's just the toilet example is a bad one.
Okay. So that's so this is where all these things went with Core that night. And there were people in the chat going, it's a myth. It never happens. It's not real. And then we had other people going, it totally is real. And they even used the name you just gave it, the Corollis.
Coriolis. Thank you, Icor. Coriolis. Yes.
Coriolis?
Coriolis. So, like, if you did this in a vacuum and you basically had, like, you know, in South or in Australia, had water going down a drain, or did one of those like how you have the 2 liter bottles connected by a little plastic thing, and there were no other imperfections in the plastic or anything like that, then yes,
okay,
starting from scratch, the water going down would then start to go in a clockwise effect.
Okay, interesting. So this is what he says: it's a micro versus macro thing. If you just reply yes to this email, which I did, it's a little involved, and it will mean I need to find out and get some pics for you and blah, blah, blah. I just don't want to invest any time if you're not overly interested. Damn it, I'm interested, Jeff. I want to know. So please send it. I wish you would have the first time, but hey, if I'm asking, I'm asking. Get it in here. He said he was just too tired, and so there's that. And this and that. Yeah, I just like to learn, man.
Yeah, you know? For sure. No, I think it's we all like to grow. We like to educate ourselves as a society. Just realized that I haven't done the advent calendar today. So let's see what we got in the old advent calendar for the 6th.
Tear open your sack. Let's see what you got.
It is. Oh, it's another. This is a gingerbread Captain Marvel.
Oh, you already have one?
No, of her? I don't have any of these.
Oh, nice. Nice.
So, I have other gingerbreads. I have a gingerbread Hulk and a gingerbread Thor. And it comes with a little base, a little plastic base, so you can make her fly.
Does gingerbread... Look,
I can fly. I'm a real boy.
Aww.
Scott still hasn't watched my movie, so I don't like him very much.
I still haven't. I'm in the middle of your spin-off.
Oh, there she goes.
So,
I have the base still.
So wait a minute. Does Gingerbread Hulk and Gingerbread Thor get along, or is there trouble there?
They do. They didn't, you know... At first, they start fighting, and Thor's like, hey, I know him! He's a friend from the oven!
Mm.
And then they fought for a little bit, and then...
Then it was fine. Getting along. Okay. Yeah. He didn't pick him up and ragdoll throw him on the ground, like, over and over, any of that stuff.
not like he did with the puny god Loki.
Ah, gotcha. All right, moving on.
Poor Captain America's in a place where I think I'm going to have to use tweezers to get her out. Like, she's next to the Mac Mini behind the sound thing, and my hand is, I have to like take things apart that I've got put there to not slide around.
Nobody puts Captain Marvel in a wedge.
That's right. Exactly.
Yeah.
I have some tweezers I can do.
Yeah. Well, so much for her superpowers. All right, moving on. Check this out.
Yeah.
I found someone sent this. And so I was, actually two or three people sent this to me and just said, you guys have to talk about this on TMS. So this is really freaking weird. It is a.
I watched this to be prepared for it, and
for some reason it won't open though. Why? Okay, there we go.
Weird.
I was worried it was going to get taken down, but they never did. So let's see. Let me pull it over here and pause it. Let's get some audio. Hold on one sec. Okay, so this is like you've all seen a million commercials that are just a little overwrought, a little too artsy fartsy. I don't even know how to describe it. It's just they're like perfume commercials or cologne commercials.
Marketing speak to the nth degree to where things don't even make sense.
Because and it's all just so highfalutin and people
lavishly
going, walking around going, oh, I exist in an upper atmosphere of perfectness and blah, blah, whatever.
Right.
So Lamborghini put out an ad into the English market. Lamborghini, of course, an Italian joint. And... I'm going to play this ad. It's mostly good for the audio, but we'll have some visual here as well. Brian, you've seen the video, I guess, probably, right?
I've seen the video.
Okay, excellent. Yes. I can't believe this passed whatever muster. And this isn't edited or somebody's messed with it, everybody. This is them. This is the thing they put out and was on television and internet and whatnot. Okay, it's an actual...
theory, by the way, once we get to it.
All right, here we go. Lamborghini.com's ad. This is where I found it on Twitter. Here it is. We got a lady, very lovely woman.
Fancy. This one's for you.
Oh my.
Concrete yearner. Tamer of curves. master of speed. Wear your finest suit. Dirt is made for it. Let the show off begin. On this new concrete, spray paint powder on tires that thrive on the rim. Dust is gold. Dirt's for the bold. Black out the sun, raising red clouds on that dry ground. Make gravel rain down. Let adrenaline and fun collide. Spray grains of dust aside. It's no filth.
It's no
this is design.
It's no filth.
It's any no amount filth. Of grime is fine. The more you get dirty, the more you'll shine.
Big finish, big finish.
Dust is gold, dirt's for the bold. Dust one is gold, dirt's for the bold.
You get the idea. It's terrible.
It is so terrible. Here's my theory on this.
Give me your theory.
This is a commercial built by an AI generator.
It's entirely possible.
This is Dolly's first commercial. It's it totally feels like this is what I think marketing speak for a car sounds like.
Yeah. I mean, this is what they say on the official post. This is the official Lamborghini verified account. V10 engine, yeah. All-wheel drive. We take you beyond the new Huracan Strato. The first all-terrain.
It's not filth.
Yeah, it's not filth. First all-terrain super sports car that ensures authentic thrills on and off the asphalt. Okay. That all reads fine. But what is up with the terrible and the guy's mouthing it exactly as the words are saying. So it's not like they replaced the words with something else or, you know, it wasn't Italian with like a translation. It's really effed, man.
Yeah, it's really, really bad. It is.
I can't believe that.
I want commercials for every product now made by this company. Like McDonald's. It's not filth. Let the grease fly up in the air.
And what do they say about, like, grime is fine? It's like,
yes,
what are
right.
you doing? What are you up to?
I think it's just like, you know, it seriously is either more likely situations that it's something completely lost in translation. But there is a small part of me that thinks that somebody figured out a way to make an AI generator do a commercial at least write the copy for a commercial.
Yeah. Or something. Somebody got fooled somewhere. How are you? One of the most expensive brands of cars in the history of the world. And this is your commercial. Right. How? Right,
exactly.
All right. Well, I thought that'd be a fun little thing. Brian, I understand you have some sort of quiz for me.
I have a quiz for you. This one came from Zoe Brings Bacon. Uh-huh. And, it's something that, you know, that we both have experience with. It is the United States of America quiz, courtesy of Britannica. They've got quizzes. I've actually got a second one, a different quiz that somebody else sent. Like within one day, two people sent me quizzes to quiz you with, but we'll do that. We'll save that other All one right. for another time.
Sure.
Because that one, I think you'll need to put on your screen and complete it because there's visual elements that that people want to see on the stream. Nice. But if you're ready, it is a... it's 60 questions, but let's go as until we get tired of it. How's
okay.
That?
No, I'm fair? Down. Yeah. Sure.
All right. Okay. I turned off the timer so that I have time to ask you and you can think about it and stuff like that.
All right.
All right. Question number one, who designed the famous Uncle Sam, I Want You poster?
Who is this multiple choice or just
it is multiple choice. Okay. Your choices are Charles Dana Gibson, James Montgomery Flagg, Howard Chandler Christie, or Thomas Nast?
C. I have no idea, so I'm just picking C.
Howard Chandler Christie?
Yeah.
I think it's Thomas Nast, but I'll click what you chose. Oh, it was James Montgomery Flagg, believe it or not.
Oh, wow. I just thought
that
way a guy would name Flagg.
That was a made-up like, DC character name, actually.
Yeah. The name Flagg seemed like BS to me, but...
It totally did. Yes, exactly. All right, question number two.
Okay.
We're doing great. How many colleges and universities make up the Ivy League? Is it 5, 6, 8, or 10 colleges in the Ivy League?
For some reason, 6 sounds right.
Okay. 6 is incorrect. 8.
8, really?
8, Harvard, Yale, Pennsylvania, Princeton, Columbia, Brown, Dartmouth, and Cornell.
Pennsylvania University?
Pennsylvania, yep.
Just I feel like I never hear about that one. You hear about all those others, but you never
all
hear
the other ones, right, exactly. Ah, where'd you go, Pennsylvania? No, I mean for college. Pennsylvania.
Pennsylvania, yeah.
The railroad?
No, you mean where the vampires
is there a
are?
Hotel on that property?
Yeah, it's the vampires. All right.
Next question. Which American city was historically known as New Amsterdam?
New Amsterdam. Yeah. Oh, give me another.
Here's your choices. There's a great Elvis Costello. I almost started singing the Elvis Costello song. Boulder City, Salt Lake City, New York City, or Brigham City?
Well, Brigham and Salt Lake are both here, and I don't think those are right. Okay. I'd say New York City.
Dutch.
New York City sounds like a thing that would have had that for a hot minute.
100% correct, and it is correct, yes.
Nice. Yeah, New Brigham City, wasn't it? That thing's a dump. Nobody goes there for anything.
The Crossroads of America is the motto of which American state? Is it Mississippi, Maine, Georgia, or Indiana?
Indiana.
I'm thinking Mississippi. I'm going to click Indiana. It is Indiana. Well done. Yeah. Okay. Indiana sits the Crossroads of America.
Just seems like
Lake
something
Michigan,
they would seems like something they would say, you know, up there. They'd go, look at us. We're right here where everything peels off to different directions. Exactly. We're the crossroads. Yeah.
They claim it's because it's just got Ohio to the east, Kentucky to the south, Illinois to the west, and the state of Michigan to the north and Lake Michigan.
Sure.
Okay. Yeah. So we've got, guess what? Colorado, we've got stuff to the northeast, west, and south as well.
Yeah, I know. The more west you work, you realize, oh, that wasn't that cool. Yeah, maybe right, it was for a minute before everybody moved westward, but, you know. All right.
All right. Number next question. In what year was the New York Stock Exchange created?
Okay.
Was it 1928, 1909, 1817, or 1875?
It's one of those two 18s. 1875.
1875. Let's see if that's correct. You were right about it being 18. It's the other 18.
Damn it.
1817. Obviously, 1928 was the big crash, so
yeah,
it's
that
not
work.
The year that it was created.
Yeah, I knew it was late the 1800s, but I cannot freaking remember. Okay, fair enough.
Well done. Well done being, you know, closest without...
I get a proximity bonus for...
You get a proximity bonus.
Sure.
What was the 50th state to join the United States? Do I even need to read the choices?
Yeah, go ahead, just to be safe.
Sure. Alaska, Hawaii, California, Texas.
That would be Hawaii.
Hawaii is correct. 1959.
Too easy, that one.
Too easy. Yeah. It's a gimme. They got to have a couple of gimmies in here.
Yeah.
The name of which state is derived from a Shoshone phrase meaning, or Shoshone? Shoshone, right?
Shoshone, I think.
The Native Americans? Shoshone?
I think so.
Phrase meaning gem of the mountains. So the name of which state comes from the Shoshone phrase for gem of the mountains. Is it Louisiana, Alabama, Nevada, or Idaho?
Shoshone would have been, I think, Nevada. Nevada.
Okay. Idaho.
Damn it!
You were, you know, again, right side of the country.
Yeah, and almost in the mountains led me. I just thought, no way, it's not D again, but there we are. All right,
there we
enough.
Are, and there we are.
Yep.
In which state will you find the natural park known as the Garden of the Gods? Would you find that in Wyoming, Missouri, Colorado, or Nevada? The Garden of the Gods, Garden of the Gods Natural Park.
Doof. Can you give me the four again?
Yeah. Wyoming, Missouri, Colorado, Nevada.
I'm going to say Wyoming because I don't know. I don't know why. Wyoming.
Oh, it is. It is an hour south of me, just outside Colorado Springs, Colorado.
Poop.
Yeah.
All right. Have you been there?
It's cool. I have. It's great. It's one of the good things about Colorado Springs. Like, it's you go down there and you hike and there's like a rock that seems to be balanced, that you feel like a strong wind, a huge rock that if it strong wind can knock it right the hell over and
really
stuff.
So, okay, that sounds awesome. Yeah, to go there. All right.
Which iconic figure was associated with female defense workers during World War II? So, you know, you had your female defense workers and World War II, I think, without... Well, never mind. Let's give you the choices here.
Okay.
Rosie the Riveter, Betty Boop, Minnie Mouse, or Wonder Woman?
That would be Rosie the Riveter.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like I was going to say, you know, famous poster, we can do it.
Yeah.
You can't pretty much remember Minnie Mouse. Oh, we can do it.
No, that's great. That one's easy. Thank you. Thank you, Zoe, for an easy one. All right.
Yes, exactly. Who was the first Chief Justice of the United States? Was it Earl Warren, John Jay, William Howard Taft, or Charles Evans Hughes?
Oh, shit. The first one.
The first Chief Justice.
All right, D, because I don't know. The rest of those names are later, I think, so.
Yeah, I think so. Charles Evans Hughes is? Oh, incorrect. John Jay.
John Jay? Who the frick is that?
J-A-Y, spelled out John Jay.
All right, like Homer's middle name, John Jay.
That's right, or Cardi B, or
yeah.
Alt J.
Cardi Semper B, probably. Fidelis. The way things are going, I bet Cardi B's a future Chief Justice.
So. I know, exactly. Future yeah. President Cardi B.
Mm-hmm.
Just as soon as Macho Camacho is has had his two terms.
Yeah.
Semper Fidelis is the motto of which military service? Is it the Navy, the Air Force, the Coast Guard, or the Marines?
Well, Marines are Semper Fi. What was the last part of it again?
Is the motto of which military service? Semper Fidelis is the motto.
Fidelis.
Of which Fidelis.
Fidelis.
Always truth, I believe, is what that means.
Navy?
Maybe that doesn't help you.
I'll say Navy.
No, Marines, Semper Fi is short for Fidelis.
Oh, it is?
Yeah. But faithful, I'm sorry, not truthful, faithful.
Okay.
Fidelis.
Fair Fidelity. Enough. I thought they were separate. Now, see, I'm learning.
No,
this
they just said, let's just shorten it to Semper Fi. Because then you have more things that can rhyme with if it's in the song.
And you can go on to whatever you have next. You don't have to spend too much time with the word. You know?
Exactly.
Yeah, right. I like that.
Who was the first U.S. astronaut to travel in space? Was it Buzz Aldrin, Alan B. Shepard Jr., Neil Armstrong, or Jim Lovell?
Lovell. Travel in space?
Travel in space.
Well, it's not Jim Lovell because he was Apollo 13. Give me everybody but Jim Lovell again.
Sure. Buzz Aldrin, Alan B. Shepard Jr., Neil Armstrong.
Alan B. Shepard Jr.
That is absolutely correct. Yeah. 1959, original seven astronauts chosen for the U.S. Mercury program. And he made a 15-minute suborbital flight in the Freedom 7 spacecraft, which reached an altitude of 115 miles.
And Lovell was Apollo 13, right?
Was Apollo 13, and Neil Armstrong was Apollo 11. Buzz Aldrin.
Also
11. Yes, but he, I want to say, didn't Buzz do two?
He may have done missions? Another, yeah. He may have been out there. That guy's great, by the way.
He is, yeah.
Still alive, I think. What a great
astronaut name. What's the highest peak in the 48 Coterminius United States? I think what's the continental United States is what I think, but Coterminius.
Coterminius? Is that how we're supposed
Coterminius,
to be?
Sorry, Coterminus.
Coterminus. Is that, sure is that what we're supposed to say instead of lower 48?
Contiguous is another way of saying that, but I've never seen this word right here.
Okay, weird.
I'm sure it means the same damn thing, but...
Yeah. Why not? Make it complicated.
What is the highest peak in the contiguous in the continental United States? Right. Is it Mount Williamson, Mount Elbert, Mount Whitney, or Mount Sanford?
I should know this. Whitney. I don't know.
I think it's Elbert, but I'm... Oh, no, it is Whitney.
Oh, right. It is. Yeah. That's a complete guess.
Yes. Elbert is Colorado, I think, is why I'm thinking that. I think Elbert is the highest one in Colorado, and so we just get a little bit self-focused here.
Yeah.
14,494 feet.
I think our tallest is Baldy, and it's the one that's... the one that the Paramount logo is based on.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. That's cool.
Yeah. A lot of people don't know that, but that mountain that they show when the stars are zooming up to go around the mountain, that's in just...
You know, it was on
Ogden.
The gong in Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
Oh, that's right. I forgot. I like when they integrate that.
I do too.
I think
the first
great.
One, it's the mountain that he's, you know, about to get the idol from.
Yeah.
Or nearby.
Pretty rad.
All right. In which state? Oh, ready for this. You need an easy one. In which state would you find the Everglades? Is it Texas, Alaska, Florida, or Colorado?
I'm going to go ahead and say Florida is what I meant. Florida.
Florida.
Cauliflowerida.
Cauliflowerida.
No kids want to live there because they don't like their cauliflower. That's good. Exactly. Yeah, that was an easy one. Thank you for the soft ball.
Ready for another easy one? How about this one? Which of these monuments is located in South Dakota? Is it Mount Rushmore, Montezuma Castle, Martin Luther King Jr. National Memorial, or Marine Corps War Memorial?
I'm pretty sure it's the president's heads in the Mount Rushmore deal.
That's right. Yep. Nice. My favorite Don Martin drawings is the four presidents' butts on the other side of the mountain.
Oh, yeah. You're like... That is the most Don Martin-ass thing ever, by the way.
It really is.
That's what that guy's job was, basically, is to have sight gags like that in Mad Magazine. Look it up, kids. Yep.
Look up Don Martin. Great. Always drew noses and chins exactly the same way on every single person. But
yeah, he was an institution. If you grew up in the 80s and read Mad Magazine, you loved Don Martin. And his feet. Remember his feet always had the flap?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Right.
So weird. So weird.
All right. If you're visiting Death Valley, in which U.S. state will you be? Another easy one. Colorado, California, New Mexico, Nevada.
That would be California.
It sure will.
I beeped it before I heard the answer, but yes.
Yeah, well, you were fine to do that. There we go. Somebody found the Don Martin drawing.
Oh, let me look at
the chat. Even shows you the bent toes.
There it is. The guy laying, I don't know, I assume that's probably
Roosevelt.
Probably Roosevelt, because those are like his hiking pants, you know? He was always into that. And he's got the feet up like that. That's great.
toes curled. What is the minimum age necessary to be eligible for membership in the U.S. House of Representatives? Is it 30, 21, 25, or 18?
House of Representatives.
Yeah, how old do you have to be to be in the U.S. House of Representatives.
Give me rip through the numbers one more time.
Sure. I'll go in order of smallest to largest. Okay. 18, 21, 25, or 30.
All right. So the only reason I think I know this for sure is they just got somebody, a Gen Zer from Florida. And I think he's under 25. So I'm going to say 21.
21 is incorrect. 25.
Ah, he must be. Shoot. I don't know how old that kid is. He's probably
25,
26, something like that. Yeah.
And be a U.S. citizen for at least 7 years in residency of the state from which the member is elected, of course. American writer Henry David Thoreau immortalized which pond in Massachusetts? Is it Big Sandy Pond, Long Pond, Great Herring Pond, or Walden Pond? It's right across from the B. Dalton Pond.
I'm going to guess because I don't know, and I just like the sound of it, so I'm going to say Great Herring Pond.
Oh, it is Walden Pond.
Damn it.
Yeah.
I haven't read any Thoreau, if I'm being honest. None of it.
I have never been to that pond, but I did see Thoreau's grave when Tina and I went up to Massachusetts when our great New England drive.
Does it have a big stone and everything, or...?
Yeah, yeah. Henry David, I mean, it was like, there's so many people in this. It's the Sleepy Hollow graveyard, and there's so many famous people in there. But it's not the Sleepy Hollow that the legend of Sleepy Hollow is based on.
Ah, gotcha. That's kind of like the place in Maine, or the place in Massachusetts where they hung, or where they burned the witches. What's that called?
Oh, Salem.
Salem. Yeah. So there's Salem, Oregon, but no witches were born in, you know.
No witches. Right. All the Salem, Oregon witches, totally fine.
Yeah, they're all good. Still operating. They're still witches. It's all fine.
Boy, that place, if you go there, it's really cool, but you get like both sides of the witch thing. And by both sides, I mean, there's a lot of places like, the witch's yogurt shop and broomstick books and stuff like that, right? And it's like all cheesy. Yeah. And then you go to this memorial and they just like list all the women who were killed. People thought they were witches. And it's like, oh, can we go back to the ice cream place?
Yeah. I like the more fun witchy take, man.
I know, but I mean, it's so sad.
Wow.
All right. In which American city is the Miss America pageant held annually? In which of these cities do you get the stink of Trump out for about a month after after the pageant?
Sure.
Is it Kansas City, Los Angeles, Atlantic City, or New York City?
Boy, it's a tie for me in my head, but I'm going to go with it. It just feels like an Atlantic City thing.
Yeah, for sure is an Atlantic City thing. Yeah.
Okay, good.
Yep. It moved to Las Vegas in 2006 and then returned to Atlantic City in 2013.
He doesn't own any of that stuff now, right? This is somebody else owns that.
Oh, yeah,
stuff.
Somebody totally, yeah.
Yeah.
In which year did the United States enter World War I? Was it, and I'll put these in numerical order so it's easier for you to keep track, 1914, 1917, 1918, or 1919? Basically 14, 17, 18, 19.
Something in my head says 17, and I don't know why. So I'll say 17.
That is absolutely correct. Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
I think I tie it with the flu of 2018. Mm. Or not 2018. Sorry.
1918. Of 1919. We had flu in 2018.
Yeah, we had the flu, sure, yeah, but yeah, we didn't have the big Spanish one that killed everybody. Right. the started in America, funny enough, but that one coincided with the war, but I guess we were about a year into it before things got weird. Okay.
So that's right. Why I remembered it.
Yep.
I feel good about how I've done so far.
The movie 1917. Good point. Yeah.
I need to see that damn thing.
You haven't seen that? No. Oh gosh.
That, and I love that director.
Look so amazing. Yeah. Sam Mendes.
Yeah. Right? I love Sam Mendes movies.
That will look so amazing on your 4K big TV. That, in addition to it just being a great movie, it is one of the most beautiful, beautifully cinematic movies I've ever seen.
The two war movies that I would love to see and haven't yet, that and Dunkirk. Don't ask me why, I just haven't gotten around to it.
Yeah,
Dunkirk's like permanently parked on HBO. I should just watch it.
Yeah, that's the problem. When you know it's like never going to leave the thing, you're like, oh, I can watch this anytime.
Yep. Hulu, Parasite. The old convenience rule. Anyway.
Exactly.
Yeah.
What was the first zoo in the United States? Is it the San Diego Zoo, the Philadelphia Zoo, the Cincinnati Zoo, or the Brookfield Zoo?
Brookfield? Where's that?
Yeah. I don't know.
Well, it feels like it's got to be... What was the first thing you said? Pennsylvania?
No, Brookfield Zoo, by the way, is in Chicago.
Chicago.
Area.
And what was the first one you said?
The first one I said was San Diego Zoo.
Oh. Read them all one more time. Sorry. San Diego.
Yep. San Diego Zoo, Philadelphia Zoo, Cincinnati Zoo, Brookfield Zoo.
It's got to be Philly, right? Early country.
I would think because of those cities, Philadelphia is the oldest. So
yeah.
I would assume so, too. That is correct. Yeah, 1874.
Okay. Because I figure, these things, a zoo is a thing you would do as soon as you could, right? As soon as you're established, right, exactly. You would have a zoo, feels like. I don't know.
We found a new land, and we brought animals. Let's put them in cages.
Because Chicago, the Brookfield thing, Chicago's like a later development. Like, that happened, right. You know, they were an expansion west.
Yeah, exactly.
So, all right.
I like this. Which was the first official national flag of America? So its nickname, or it's I guess it's not nickname, but it's common name.
Yeah.
The Union flag, Continental Colors, Stars and Stripes, or Stars and Bars?
Continental Colors is one of them?
Yeah. Union flag, Continental Colors of Benetton, Stars and Stripes, and Stars and Bars.
Well, it's definitely not Union. I like this colors one. I like that.
Yeah, the sound of that, Continental Colors.
Yeah.
Stars and Stripes.
Damn it.
The original.
So it's still the, we still do that. It's still called
We still
that.
Call it the Stars and Stripes, yeah, but.
All right. Damn it.
It's all right.
Yeah, Union, there's no way it was Union, because Union would have been later in the Civil War.
Right.
And the Union flag versus the Confederate flag, so.
Exactly, yeah. Yep.
All right.
Which American state has the most interstate highway kilometers?
Oh, this
is
very
interesting. Is it Texas, California, Montana, or New York?
All right. It's down to Texas or California.
I would think so.
Jeez.
I know. It's really... You know, you go for purely based on size, or you go for notable interstate problems. And
yeah, like I just know how much California relied on it, whereas I guess Texas does too. But Yeah. California, I'll just say. I don't know.
Let's say California. It is. No, it actually is Texas.
Damn it.
3,234 miles or 5,204 kilometers of interstate highways in Texas. California, second place, has 2,456 miles or 3,952 kilometers. So even more than 1,000 less kilometers than Texas.
I forgot the rule, the everything's bigger in Texas rule. Forgot.
I know. Yeah. Well, bigger, but more, you know, I guess there too.
Sure.
All right, we'll do like three or four more.
Yeah.
How many states are included in the New England region of the United States?
New England up there. Yeah.
How many states are included in that? Is it 3, 4, 6, or 9?
New Hampshire, Connecticut. Oh, geez. Massachusetts, I assume. I'll just go with an even number and say, wait, was 4 an option?
4 is an option.
And 6 was an option, right?
6 is an option.
It's got to be more than 4, so let's go 6.
I would think 6 is correct. It is 6, yes. Maine, New Hampshire, Vermont, Massachusetts, Rhode Island, Connecticut.
Oh, Rhode Island and Vermont. Sorry, up there. I forgot about you. Brian's about to go to one of you, and I forgot about you.
I am. Actually, I'm about to go to two of you. I'm going to go to New Hampshire and Vermont, because we fly into New Hampshire, and then we drive to Vermont.
Oh, nice. And it's pretty close, right? Like, it's not like a huge
2 hour. It'll be a 2 hour drive, but we want the Southwest miles, so we're doing it that way.
You should try to visit the hobbits of New Hampshire. They're out there. That's a thing.
Oh, sure. Are they new hobbits?
Though? Yeah, they're new hobbits of New Hampshire. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. In that case, as long as they're the new hobbits,
they're like the peppermint patties of New York. It's terrible.
York City. all right, we'll do. We'll do. This is number 25, so we'll do this one and the next one.
All right.
What is the largest river that flows into the Pacific Ocean from North America? Is it the Colorado River, the Salmon River, the Columbia River, or the Missouri River?
Pacific Ocean. That would have to be
Pacific Ocean.
Have to be Colorado, right?
I think so. No, actually, it is the Columbia.
Really?
Obviously, the Missouri River is east. But, Columbia River, the largest river flowing into the Pacific Ocean from North America. I like this phrasing. It is exceeded in discharge on the continent only by the Mississippi, St. Lawrence, and Mackenzie Rivers on the east.
Damn.
But Columbia River.
By the way.
Got that big old gorge.
Yeah, they got the gorge. The Colorado River, which we used to run all the time as kids, like scout groups and stuff like that. I saw somebody drown on that thing.
Oh, really?
They were in boat. They were in the giant raft ahead of us, the big raft ahead of us. But somebody fell off. A guy, like one of their leader guys, like a scoutmaster, fell off the edge and never came up.
Right.
It was rough.
Yeah, I remember you telling the story. Jeez.
Yeah, rough. Rough business.
But it's not the time they fished a body out of the flood that you saw.
No, that river, similar deal, but they fished this naked 35-year-old dude out of the river because he had fallen down. He'd fallen into the river way upstream. It was during the floods of 83, 84 or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was so bad that it literally tore all his clothes off because of the current.
Jeez, the force.
Yeah. I never quite got over that. That was hard to see. And that was just near our neighborhood. Yeah. I didn't like that. Anyway.
All right. Well, let's get to the very last question here. And boy, as a fan of the game Monopoly, this, I don't think it's going to help you at all. What was the first steam-operated railway in the United States to be chartered as a common carrier of freight and passengers?
Jeez.
It's a lot of clarification on there.
Sure.
Is it the Pennsylvania Railroad, the Baltimore and Ohio Railroad, the Erie Railroad, or the Union Pacific Railroad?
I mean, Union Pacific went clear across everything.
Yeah.
So it seems like that'd be the one, but Pacific is such
two
a
of these
big
are,
name.
Two of these are Monopoly railroads.
Yeah, that's the problem.
The B&O.
Yeah. That's the problem is I hear them and I think, oh, those are prominent, so those must be, you know.
Is it the Reading Railroad?
Yeah. I'm going to say Union Pacific just feels right. Okay.
All right. And nope, it is the B&O. The railroad full of B.O. The first steam-powered railway in the United States to be chartered, blah, blah, blah.
The great,
1827 is
the great body done. Odor railroad of yore.
That's right. Yeah. Exactly.
Wow. So I didn't keep score. Did anyone keep score?
I didn't keep score either. You have 5,700 points, according to this. I don't know what that means as far as like how many. We asked 27. Actually, we asked 26 questions because I skipped how many states are there in the U.S.
Oh, duh.
So
that's something you ask like some tribe in Africa that's never seen another man before.
That's right.
What the heck?
Exactly.
Yes. That's amazing. That was a really good list. Where did did she make this or just find this somewhere?
I guess she found it. Oh, okay. So each one is, well, that's weird. I was going to say each one is worth 400 points, but then how do you get 57? Because you think it would be an even number. It does not make sense.
That doesn't make sense. That scoring is F.
Yeah, no, she found this on the Britannica.com. Quiz site, and it's the she just put a link to it. It's the United States of America quiz.
Oh, did you see? Oh, I know you did because I sent it to you and you responded. But this Google feud thing.
Oh yeah,
it's really fun. It's like
it's more like
go ahead.
Like the googly thing we did with Daryl back in the day than the actual feud game.
Yeah, it's crazy. So chat, everybody at home, just go try it out. Googlefeud.com is what it's called. You just choose a category. Let's say, I don't know, I'll choose one real quick here. We'll do culture. Okay. And then it gives you basically how does Google autocomplete this query? And it gives you a bunch of does Santa have a and then blank. And it gives you kind of a hint as to length. Like how long some of these might be, but that's it. And that tells you how much they're worth. The top one is worth 10,000 all the way down to 1,000. So you have to fill it in. So, Brian, how would you finish the sentence? How does, or sorry, does Santa have a what? What would you say?
Geez. Is Safe Search on or not?
I don't know if it does that. I have no idea.
Does Santa have a car?
Okay, let's try that. Car. Oh, got an X. There's no sound to this thing, which is unfortunate.
Does Santa have a child?
Child. You get four tries, by the way, if you get them wrong. Yeah. So two X's.
Two X's?
Though. Yeah.
Jeez. Does Santa have a different outfit?
Different outfit.
No?
Still not. I've actually found this to be difficult, so don't
feel
bad. It is
extremely difficult. I did one yesterday. Like it was Super Mario blank, and I got two of them right.
Yeah, yeah. It's not. It's harder than you think it's going to be, which I guess I kind of like about it. But
does Santa have a birthday?
Birthday. Oh, number two answer, 9,000 points. Right. Congratulations. Cool. So that means you got another chance for that one. What do you got?
Good deal. Does Santa have a dog?
Oh my gosh, you got it. It's fourth down, 7,000 points. So far here, 16,000.
These are people really ask some stupid ass questions.
I agree, dude. They are dumb, but yeah. All right, you got another chance then.
Does Santa have a, well, we said child. Let me try son.
Son.
S-O-N, yeah.
Oh, nice. 2,000, ninth answer.
All right.
I don't know where that came from.
Does Santa have a 3D printer?
3D printer.
We'll just get this thing over with.
Printer. Yeah, 4Xs. So let's see what you got.
Oh,
or you missed.
Darn.
You missed birthday, phone number.
I thought I said birthday. Oh, didn't I? I did say birthday.
Oh, no, you got that one right. I'm sorry. Brother is number one you missed.
Brother. Oh, because people have been seeing Fred Claus and assuming.
Exactly. So you got brother, you got phone number. You got, that makes sense. Kids want to call Santa.
Sure.
Pilot's license, wife, phone, pipe, like for smoking. You got son, and then the final one was middle name.
Oh, interesting.
Like Santa.
Santa effing Claus.
Effing Claus. I was going to say the same thing. It's a cool little deal. So
it's a good game. Yeah.
It's a fun game to play. And they also have something on here called Feudal, which I have a feeling is some kind of Wordle takeoff.
Oh, sure.
I haven't played with it, but chat and everyone at home, again, that's googlefeud.com, and it was such a nice little fun surprise. It's a fun game. And it reminded me of what you do on Wednesday just a little bit. Not
a little bit, yeah. It's it's a lot bigger user base than what we do for Tadpooley Feud, and because of that, it's so much harder.
Yeah, it's a little tricky. Okay, we are going to do, I think we have time for a news story. Let's go ahead and do it.
Totally do.
Here we go. It's time for the news, and it's brought to you by
Happy birthday, one day late, to friend, Geek Grill, and ANTP contestant, The Jen. You know, September let me know about this a little too well. She let me know about it right before the show yesterday. I said, oh, I'll make sure when I do the song dedication at the end that I say happy birthday to her. And I completely forgot. Aww. So, The Jen, we love you. We cannot wait to see you in April at TMS Vegas 2023.
Man, you live there now. So
it's a guarantee we're going to see her. And I need to still get, I need to get in touch with a couple places for things that we've done before that I think we'll want to do again, i.e., video game competition.
Oh, that was fun. I would do that again.
So much fun. And then some new things that we've got on deck for this year.
Yeah. No, that's great. I hope we do that arcade thing again. I love that.
We will. I mean, we don't even have to do anything to do that. We don't have to say, let me call the place and see if they'll have us.
Yeah, they'll have us.
But I'll see if we can maybe do a group rate. Like, you know, if I bring 75 of us or something.
Yeah, it seems like sort of deal. Like we could get a break out of that.
For sure.
All right. Let's do this news story. This is a quick one. The oldest living cat has been discovered by Guinness World Records. This is a new one. Her name is Flossie. She probably has bad teeth, just ironically, you know. this is a 26-year-old cat.
Wow.
That is older than my middle daughter, which tells you something. I don't know what it tells you.
No kidding.
This cat was born in 1995. British-born Flossie has set a new record for the world's oldest living cat. The cat has a number of owners during her lifetime. It currently resides in southeast London. Her new owner says
she's... That's kind of funny. Like, she's had a bunch of different owners?
Yeah, I don't know what that means. They just get passed around.
I guess
around
she just outlives the people who've had her. And like, it's a lot of old... She's just passed from old person to old person.
Yeah, maybe that's the trick to its longevity. I don't know. It says here that, let's see, the new owner says she's remarkably in good shape for her advanced years. Guinness World Records and the charity Cats Protection have confirmed Flossie is indeed the world's oldest living cat. She was handed over to the charity at age 26 when her owner couldn't look after her anymore. Probably another old person. Quote, we were flabbergasted when vet records showed Flossie to be nearly 27, says Naomi Rosling, coordinator of the Kent branch of Cats Protection. That sounds British as hell. That place.
It totally does. Actually, well, my dad was born in Kent, but...
Oh, I didn't know that. That's cool.
Yeah, but I'm trying to think of what city it was, because it wasn't the one you mentioned.
Was that city disguised as Kent, but really...
That's
at
right.
Night,
it was actually Super City.
Super City.
If you put glasses on it, it was just Kent.
Yeah, you can never tell. You just glasses, and it's like, who's that guy?
That's right. Yeah.
Let's see here. She is the oldest cat we have ever met, at least 120 years old in human years, and in such good shape for her age, with someone who does what's best for me when I need it most, I shall be very happy.
Yeah.
So there's that.
Wouldn't she be 120 in cat years? In human years, she's 27. She's the same age.
Oh, right. Yes, that's the other way.
Right.
You say, how old are you in
human? You say in dog years. Oh, how old is that in dog years? You don't say, how old is that in human years?
Yeah, in human years, you say exactly how many years it is. Right. This is not good.
What's funny is they say 27 in, or 120 in cat years in the caption, and then 120 in human years in the text.
Yeah, I find this annoying now that you pointed
but
it out.
But a very sweet cat,
me.
And... so many health problems. Nobody wants to come over and take care of it.
No, why would you? I mean, they say he's in good shape, but that could turn in a heartbeat. It's old. Yeah. That's like somebody being 98 and going, I can't believe what great shape he's in. Don't say that too loud. He's going to die.
Oh God, I know. Are we doing a potential TMS kill by talking about Flossie on the show?
Oh
today?
Shit! I didn't even think about it. You know what? We never mentioned Kirstie Alley. Yeah, never talked.
Fortunately, we never mentioned Kirstie Alley. The way we never brought her up until after she passed away.
Yeah, I feel like the only time she's ever really come up on any shows or it would have been like Wrath of Khan, Star Trek, or something. But she passed away at the age of 71.
I mean, we talked about Cheers a lot on this show back in the day.
That's true. I feel like I focused. I'm more of a
a Shelley Long.
Yeah, more of a Shelley Long era kind of person.
Sure.
I like it all. Whatever, it's fine.
I like it all. Yeah.
I feel like Sam's character went in directions that kind of rubbed me wrong when she left. I don't know.
Well, first off, he became a huge, like, he went back into alcoholism, like, right when she showed up, because he didn't own the bar anymore.
Yeah.
And then,
you know what? That's what it was. He didn't own the bar anymore, and that bugged me. I didn't like that.
It bugged me, too. I didn't like that. There was a whole season of him not owning the bar, and it was Mr. It was what's-his-face.
That guy is like this. Hello.
The British guy. Yes, exactly. Not Kyle MacLachlan, but could be Kyle MacLachlan's. Robin Masters.
No, that's not it, is it?
That was I think it was Robin Masters.
I thought somebody was somebody court.
I thought so too. There's somebody.
Pumbaa, chat room, you're killing me.
Another owner, I think, that must have been
something kill court or yeah, no, right. Master, you're right. Robin Masters is from the that's from Higgins's guy he works for. That's from Magnum PI, Robin Masters.
Really?
Yeah. That's the owner of the place, and that secretly pays.
Oh, okay. Well, that explains why I'd have never heard of it.
I got to find it.
He was in love with. What was that guy's name?
I got to find it. It's going to bug me.
Robin Colcourt. There we go.
Oh, so it was Robin.
It was Robin.
And then Colcourt. That was painful. All right. Well, on that note, we're taking a break.
one of the vendors that that I support on Patreon that does 3D prints and I can't show it because there's reasons, but I can't show it. But anyway, did a couple models that I've printed. Did that Magneto one that I sent you.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Has also done a new Charles Xavier one, and he's done two different faces, one that's more based on like the comic book look of Professor X, and then another one that's based on Patrick Stewart, who, as he calls, is Patrick Stewart.
Stewart,
yes.
Yeah, he needs to fix that typo.
He needs to definitely fix that typo.
You should write him.
He's not, English is not his first language, this designer, I don't think.
You should send him a message that says, it's a typo. It's a typo.
I'm not going to worry about it, I'm sure. I don't want to be the 18th person, or the 1800th person to do it.
Yeah, but you'd be the only one that does it in putty voice. You do it in putty voice.
Yes.
Yeah.
In putty voice.
Yeah, yeah, that'd be that. Oh, that's to make it special.
Inkliner. Yeah.
That's a typo.
Page 14. Yeah.
Yeah, that's a typo.
I think he says, but he says.
He doesn't say it, right? Something. We figured it out. It was something else.
Yeah, we like ours better. We wrote that line better.
Yeah, that's our Mandela effect is strong. All right, play us a song. We got something there, don't we?
Sure. It's about time we play a Christmas song on the show in India in the Middle. I mean, we played a couple. I think we played Last Christmas last week and did not break Whamageddon for people.
Nope.
But how about an original, an indie? This one performed by a band called Corvair, who I've featured on the show before. This is exclusively available on Corvair's Bandcamp site, so you can't buy it on iTunes or Amazon or anything like that. Brandon Heather are the two people that make up Corvair. It's a duet or duo, and they are both, as they call it, Christmas crazy. So they wanted to create their own Christmas song, as they do every year. Here is I Believe in Christmas by Corvair.
Snowy nights can't
holiday season is bustling. Can you feel it? Well, we're here, and it's the perfect time to plan ahead with Factor, a ready-to-eat meal delivery. Man, I'm hungry right now just thinking about it. They shop, prep, cook, and deliver to your door so you can enjoy chef-crafted, dietitian-approved meals during the holidays, minus all the hassle. That's a big key for me. Plus, with 34 meals per week, including Gourmet Plus, Keto, Calorie Smart, Vegan Plus Veggie, and 36 plus weekly add-ons, well, you'll have plenty of nutritious, flavorful options to choose from. Get all that flavor that you can handle. And flavor. That's what we're really looking for here. It's a delicious on-the-go solution. And they've got a deal for you. You get 60% off your first box when you head to go.factor75.com/TMS60 and use the code TMS60. I love them all. I honestly can't pick a favorite. Anything with chicken, basically, is what my jam is. And everything I've had from Factor is fantastic. I love them. And they put all the work into it. You really don't have to do much. They registered, they have registered dietitians. They have expert chefs. These people work hand in hand to create meals that you can feel good about eating every day. Look, my holidays are jam packed already. All right. Luckily, I got Factor there with farm fresh, never frozen meals. And they make it easy for me to fuel up when I'm on the go. When I got just a few minutes between meetings, that sort of thing. It's perfect. 2 minutes later, bam, I have a, what feels like a gourmet meal made for me. So, the no prep, no mess meals. Honestly, they save me so much time on planning and cleanup so I can fully enjoy these holidays without wasting hours in the kitchen. They have everything I need for a week of flavorful, nutritious eats. In addition to ready-to-eat meals, they have cold-pressed juices, smoothies. I've had the smoothies. They're so good. Energy bites, extra protein, veggie slides. Sides. I said slides. I meant sides. And more to keep me energized during the frantic holiday times. Here's what you need to do. Go to go.factor75.com. That's go.factor75.com/TMS60. And use the code TMS60 to get 60% off your first box. That's code TMS60 at go.factor75.com/TMS60. And you'll get 60% off your first box. What are you waiting for? Go do it today.
Parents, warning signs that might indicate a child's drift towards Satanism include abrupt emotional changes, changes in school habits, rejection of parental values, unusual interest in books on Satanism, black magic, or witchcraft, obsession with rock music groups using satanic symbols or references, rejection of friends, preference for being alone, meditation, chanting, use of new vocabulary.
Just for a second, let me turn this chicken off.
The Morning Stream. I'll shove that bat up your ass and turn you into a popsicle.
Jeez. It's pretty rough. It's a little violent imagery there, Fletcher. Jeez Louise, man. Hey, remind me who that music was again.
That was a band called Corvair and a brand new for this year Christmas song called I Believe in Christmas.
Ah, very nice. You know what? I never had heard the Smashing Pumpkins Christmas song until that holiday special.
Oh yeah, until the Guardians thing. Yeah,
I feel like it's been around for a while.
And you recognize Billy Corgan's voice immediately.
Oh yeah, immediately I did too. And so at first I thought, is this new? And then I looked around. And I'm like, no, this is like from one of those old like charity albums where all the artists would do it together or whatever. I forgot what those are called.
Maybe This Christmas and
Christmas and Hollis was on there.
The one that, the first year was it always has the Keith Haring art on the cover.
Yeah. That is Keith Haring. That's exactly the one. That is exactly it. I think this was one of those like in the 90s.
Yeah, like a volume 5 or 6 or something.
It's a cool song. It's a rad Christmas song. But I forgot it existed. All right, let's get Bill here.
Bill.
Oh, I need to ask him a question, too.
Oh, well, then don't forget.
I won't forget.
Okay. In fact, you know what? We'll make it the first thing that happens here.
Yeah, let's make it the first thing.
I think that's a great idea.
Your bat cave's open there, Bill.
Bill Duran joining us all the way from punishprops.com, where he makes rad stuff. And he comes on the show and we talk about it. We also try to inspire you guys to make your own rad, cool stuff. Bill, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, friends.
Hello.
Happy to be here.
I hope your cold is gone and you're feeling better. You were gone last week, and we hope you're better
today. You sound great.
Yeah,
feeling a lot better. Had a head cold, went through the family. We went to Thanksgiving and got sick at Thanksgiving. Not COVID. No, no. Just a good old-fashioned cold.
Well, that's what I got in 2020 or 2021. I guess 2021, a year ago, I got that ear infection from the Thanksgiving get-together. It's always that thing. So.
Oh, yeah. It's always family.
Stupid family. Well, anyway, Bill's here. Now, before we do anything else, Brian had a question. Brian, you want to ask
this? I have a question for you. So a while back, you created a really cool clear resin model that you painted over most of it. It was a squirrel with a glowing center for a game you like. Is that game Inscription?
Yeah. Inscription.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that just came out on the Apple Best Game of the Year award. So I picked it up. I haven't played it yet, but it's on the Mac now. And I didn't think it was before, but I saw the artwork and I'm like, this looks like the squirrel thing that that Bill worked
That's on. Totally it. And it was on Macs, but through Steam. Prior to the Apple Store holding it. I want it on iPads where I want it.
Yeah.
That'd be pretty cool.
There's no reason that couldn't be on a tablet. I would sit and play that all night. I don't know why that's not true yet, but that game's great.
Yeah, that's a good one. You're going to have fun with that.
Oh, I can't wait.
There's this a lot a good... to discover in that game.
It's Inscription's rad, man. It's such a cool... I don't know. I got to get back in there. You're reminding me of all the games that I don't have time to play. So.
done that.
Yeah, for sure.
I have a giant list of those games, and then instead of playing them, I started up a new game of Satisfactory. So that's my life.
Nothing wrong with that.
I had started an Astroneer game because I wanted to try the rail stuff.
Oh, I got
to
play that again.
And I got so far as to like going to, you know, like four or five of the different planets and getting the things I need, and I came back and I'm like, man, I don't want to get sucked into this damn thing again. So I never even built the rail stuff, but that stuff is still sitting there ready for me to add.
I haven't tried it either. I'll have to load that up next, I guess.
That's a cool game. Nothing wrong with Astroneer. Nothing at all. Well, Bill. And also before we dive in, Brian, you wanted to show off your progress on the
thing. Yeah, let's do this. So after 60 hours of printing.
Wow.
That's a long print.
Finally finished.
Look at that. It's big red. Red
Magneto helmet. It's Magneto actually helmet. Magenta Magneto
so
helmet.
Cool.
Because I had a lot of magenta. I had a full roll of magenta filament, and I didn't.
Wow, how perfect is that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's going to get completely covered up by wood putty and filler and primer and that sort of thing. So color really doesn't matter. A little bit of kookiness on the back here where it was where the plate adhesion was.
That's where Colossus punched him a few times.
Well,
when I sand this and wood fill it, this you won't even see this anyway.
Does this fit on your head? It looks like it fits.
It does.
Let me see this. Take that off. Oh my god.
Let's do it.
Lord, watch this. Dude, what? Shut up. That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yeah, that's strong, dude. He can't hear us yet. That's really great.
No.
I want Brian, when you do your selfie today,
it's a gimme that this is gonna be today's selfie.
That looks really great. Fun.
Putting a helmet on for the first time is always a good feeling.
It is. Well, it is if it fits, right?
Yeah. Right.
It's like, damn it, I made it just a little too small. So, but this, I love the Cobra Max because, I mean, number one, look how smooth everywhere except for where the supports were on the back. This thing is like beautiful. There are layer lines.
Sure.
But it is smooth. It's not going to take a ton of priming to make it look beautiful. Mm-hmm. And it's all in one go as opposed to like having to glue parts together and
that
sort of thing.
That's
I'm
really
currently
cool.
printing the thing that goes on the front, but I'm trying to decide if I even want it. One of the guys that I follow, I know it's somebody you know as well, Uncle Jesse, printed one of these, actually printed the same model that this one is, and he drilled and put in magnets up here so that he could take off the little
element. That seems appropriate.
Wow. Doesn't it? Right? I could actually stick like forks and stuff to it too, and it'd be kind of funny.
That'd be even better.
Yeah. Why not?
One single Wolverine claw.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Oh, I love that idea.
One Wolverine. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. You almost want to do two of these. One that you can kind of have as like a master one, and then another one that's like the jokey one with all the metal shit stuck to it.
Well, but see, if it's magnetic, I can just 3D print other magnetic things like yes. like Cyclops's visor and have yeah. it stuck to that.
Yeah, I love that. All right, well, nicely done. Bill, now we've had all this preview. What are you working on? What do you got going?
Yeah, so the holidays are upon us. You're probably looking for ideas to get something for the maker in your life.
Mm.
Or you're a maker and you're looking what to ask for. And I've got a good list of stuff here. So when you're holiday shopping for the maker in your life, yep. or if anyone is buying stuff for me, here's a good list
of right.
really good things.
Okay.
So one of the great things to get for people who make stuff are consumables. There are lots of stuff in the shop that end up getting used up by their very nature. And people always need more of them. So these are things like drill bits. Yes, drill bits are consumable.
yeah, they are.
If you ever tried to drill a hole through something that's hardened steel, you'll realize that those drill bits are consumable.
Are they always a standard set when you go buy like that little rollout thing that's got every size? I mean, is that kind of this you
yeah,
know?
There's a pretty standard set of tools from like 1/16 inch to half inch in a set of like 20 bits. That's a good one to get because it's got a good range, or the metric version, obviously.
Yeah.
And it is never bad to have too many drill bits. I'm here to tell you will never go, darn, I have too many drill bits. You'll be happy you have extra.
How much do you go through those? Do you feel like you break them on the regular?
They get dull from years of abuse and then I throw them away.
Gotcha.
As occasionally I'll snap one, but it happens. It really does. For me, I love having drill bits in every corner of the shop so I don't have to go looking for them. So
nice.
Drill bits are good. Things like rubber gloves, if your friends are working with 3D resin 3D prints, rubber gloves are really good. Or sandpaper for that helmet of yours, Brian.
Yep.
You guys, I just found
I go through so much sandpaper. I'm going to go through a ton of it on this one, too.
I just found an amazing goof on Amazon. So they have their new releases in drill bits, specifically this category. And it's miles and miles of drill bit products, like tons of it.
Yep.
Except the very second
drill bit Taylor on DVD.
The very second. Yeah, I wish it was even that close. The second item on here is Funko Pop Marvel She-Hulk. It's got nothing to do. Nothing to do with drill bits.
Up in your power drill there. See if she.
Yeah. That is the dumbest thing I've ever seen. Anyway, nice job, Amazon.
Some other fun consumables like a cutting mat or Sharpies or marker refills. Like if your friend has Copic markers, getting refills for those are really good.
Yeah.
Or sketchbooks. And then, of course, 3D printer filament or resin.
Yeah.
If someone's doing a lot of printing, they need their filament or resin. But also they need 3D files. So if you can maybe get them a subscription to someone's Kickstarter or
Patreon
where they can get 3D files.
Brian, where do you get
your... That's a really good one, yeah.
Where do you get your resin and filament, Brian?
I order those on Amazon. Filament, I pretty much stick to either Hatchbox or... I've been having great luck with Overture. It's a little bit cheaper. I miss Spider Maker. I don't know what happened to Spider Maker, but they had the best filament I'd ever used. And like, you wouldn't get layer lines. They had great matte colors because I don't like stuff super shiny. If I don't want it to be shiny anyway. Sure. But I don't know what happened to Spider Maker. And then resin, I also get on Amazon. I always get the, I think it's the Elegoo.
Is it any cubic? Not that?
Let me see. I can take a look at my previous order.
We've been using Soriatech for our resin.
Okay.
So that's really good. Yeah. It's the blue smoky fast. Yeah. Smoky fast is what we've been using.
Smoky
is that a
fast?
Transparent?
Yeah. It looks really cool.
Ooh, transparent.
Soriatech.
Cool.
Yeah.
Well, if you got, okay, let me ask you guys a question while you're looking that up. Yeah. If you get transparent resin versus, say, like a gray or whatever, which I see the most common here, looks like it's always gray or blue or some sort of light blue. What is easier to paint on in those cases? Or does it just depend? Like if you're looking for a translucent...
It doesn't really matter.
Okay. Yeah. Z prime... I mean, I prime everything that I paint anyway, so it can be... I could, you know, whatever the cheapest resin is probably the best thing to buy. I'm not seeing... Oh, Siraya. Okay.
Okay.
Do you... Here's a dumb question, or maybe not. Do you have like a 4K or 8K resin printer?
Yeah, we have the Mono X, which is 4K, and we have the Mono X 6K as well.
Do you buy specific resin that is supposed to be good with 4K in
it? No. Okay, just use that Cerytek stuff and it works awesome.
There we go. Yeah. The Elegoo 3D printer resin, you know, it's like it's like $20 a bottle or something. Mm-hmm. But my next purchase will be some Cerytek. And you get you told me the one that you get.
The fast
ABS like.
Maybe I'm not quite sure. I can send you a link. Yeah,
it doesn't matter. I'm just curious.
a few more things here. Yeah. If when you're doing your shopping, knowledge is one of the best things you can buy for someone, and not just because I sell books. But here are some books you could buy. All right. Art books are always a great idea if a friend has a favorite game or movie or TV show. Look for those. Technique books are amazing, like my Foamsmith book, available at punchpops.com.
Mm-hmm.
But also weird specific topics. We just got a book on ancient locks and keys throughout the ages, or books on swords and armor if your friend does cosplay and armor making.
Oh my gosh, there's so many things. Like, I just found, complete pottery techniques. And
oh yeah, right?
Here's another one.
Photography. I have a lot of photography books.
I like the advanced numerology techniques. Oh, that's cool. Yeah, I've always seen the art stuff, obviously. It's everywhere. But mm-hmm. I didn't realize they made so many varieties of, like, here's a technique for this. There's probably one for your 3D printer you guys are talking about, if I had to guess.
Oh, there are 3D printing books out there, absolutely.
Yeah. That's cool.
Another good thing to look for are online classes or subscriptions. So there's websites like Skillshare or Masterclass. You could get your friend a year of that. Or other types of video courses you can find online, like our Fusion 360 course on our website.
Yeah.
Or you could get your friend an in-person class. So look for colleges or other instructors near you that offer in-person classes. Some examples would be like photography, or blacksmithing, or welding. These are hands-on things you'd really want to go do with a professional. And you'd probably be surprised to find locals near you that are actually offering these things as classes.
Interesting.
I really want... There's a photographer named Trey Ratcliffe that I follow, and I would love to take one of his photography classes in New Zealand. They're very expensive, and I want to do it so bad.
So is this you saying that so someone will gift you? You know, they'll hear
this. I'm just putting this out into the universe. I'm just letting the universe know.
Nothing wrong with that. Knowledge is power. I get it.
Yeah.
That's cool.
And then, of course, tools. Now, it's hard to just get the right tool for someone. You got to know what they use.
Yeah.
But a couple of good things to keep an eye out for. A better version of a tool that they use all the time. So if your friend bought a really cheap tool and they use it all the time, you could get them a nicer version of it. Or something that's like specific to their field. Frequently, someone will use a generic tool to accomplish a specific task, and there is a more specific tool for that task. Or a copy of a tool that they use all the time. I mentioned I put drill bits everywhere. I also have digital calipers by my computer upstairs, by my computer and the CNC machine downstairs, but one by my main workbench and another one by my lathe. So I have 4 dial calipers around my shop. And it's just so I don't have to go find one when I need it. So nice. Your friend might want a second copy of something.
Sure.
Yeah.
Very cool.
There you go. There's my giant list of stuff to look out for when you're shopping for your maker friends.
Your maker friends are everywhere. Just dig in and get them something cool. You're giving me some ideas here. This is great. You always come to the show with a little extra something. You got that today?
I do. Our friends over at Tested are doing their favorite things. I'm going to send you a link to the one that Jen Schachter did. Jen's a wizard. She's awesome.
Mm.
But look on the Tested website for the coming days. More ideas. So every year we film ourselves. I'll have a video up there soon. Film ourselves talking about our favorite things from the year. And it's a lot of really good ideas of stuff to buy for your friends or for yourself.
Oh, very nice. Oh, you're doing one of these. That's awesome.
Yeah, that'll be up. I'm not sure when it's going up, but I filmed that last week.
Very nice. I always look forward to seeing when your face shows up on the Tested site, which I subscribe to as well.
Fantastic.
very nice. Do so. Go check it out. Tested channel, of course, punishprops.com and the Punish Props YouTube channel must be on your subscription list. Why aren't they? Well, I can't answer that for you, but you got to go do it now if you haven't already. And many
do
of you
now.
Are, I'm sure.
Do it now.
Bill, we'll see you again before the holiday. Between now and then, I hope somebody heard your plea for a rad thing you want. And we'll talk about it more next week. Have a great one.
Bye-bye.
Bye. I almost made him owner of the group instead of kicking him off the call.
Promoted to leader. Nice.
Yeah, that would have been weird. I'm glad I didn't do it.
Oops.
Man, that helmet's rad.
Yeah.
It's killer. I'm so excited. And I'm with you on the whether you want the little extra piece or not. I kind of feel like it stands on its own without it.
It does. You know, it's...
I guess you're printing it so you can see. You know.
I'm printing it. Yeah, it's currently... That one actually is currently printing. And I can... And like I said, if I put magnets in there, then not only do I have the choice of putting it on or not putting it on, but then I do have the option of putting on other funny things to, you know, like, you know, he's overly magnetized and he's picking up thumbtacks and paper clips that. And stuff.
I love that. I think that's a great idea.
Yeah, when I'm not
idea.
Wearing it, it can actually just be a little office supply holder for me and like paper clips. And,
yeah, there's your little stapler on the side or whatever.
Right.
I guess you'd have to have some bigger magnets, but still, exactly. It's very cool.
It, you know, when I was looking, by the way, because I wanted to kind of take a look at the different Magneto helmets and colors and things like that before I start painting this thing, I'd forgotten how form-fitting the different Magneto helmets have been to like Fassbender and McKellen.
Oh, big time, yeah.
Almost uncomfortably looking so.
Yeah,
right?
They squeeze their heads in there, it feels like. Yeah.
Yeah.
Why is that? Why did they go that route, you wonder? I don't know.
I don't know. But yeah, let's see if I can copy this image if it's not going to give me a massive link. That's not too bad.
I feel like we haven't seen Fassbender in a while.
You know what? Yeah, we haven't.
What's he up to?
Check on Fassbender.
Yeah, someone see if he's all right. I feel like he hasn't been doing a lot of work. Okay, there it is. See if this, I found one. Yeah.
Is it better?
I mean, I'm sure because it fans out or it kind of waves out at the bottom so he can get his head in there, but it's still seems tight.
That's the question is, does it make it difficult? But then you've got... Oh, here's a great... actually, this is a great link right here, a great visual.
All right, let's see what you got.
Copy image, paste. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, want me to put it on Discord, too?
Yeah, I can do it either one. Yeah, either one's fine. Let's see. Here.
I have it already...
Oh, my connection is not private. Hold on. What?
Yo, yes, I'm totally going to be putting a padding in there. I have to, because this thing on my, you know, on my bald head hurts like hell. But notice that... none of the McKellen helmets have the ornament, but like the Days of Future Past Magneto helmet has it. It's kind of incorporated into design on a couple of the other ones.
Yeah, Apocalypse. They're Captain, they're Steve Rogers like where they, it's built
evolves
into the
evolves over, yeah.
Yeah, I think, oh, well, except the one in the purple. He's got it's sticking out there pretty good.
It's sticking out really far on the purple, and that's kind of my least favorite of those,
I think my favorite of his is the Days of Future Past, or possibly this first class is what I meant. But what's the final one down here in the bottom right corner? What's that?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if those.
I like that one.
If those go, I think they do go. Yeah, there we go. So they do line up with the pull. So it's obviously the Ian McKellen version, the first class silver one, which I kind of like, the first class red and purple, which I don't like. The Days of Future Past, which is almost like that pitted metal.
Mm-hmm.
The Apocalypse, which is the bottom center, and then the Dark Phoenix helmet, which is in the bottom right.
Okay, Dark Phoenix, I think, is the one I like, even though that movie's so bad.
Yeah, yeah.
The McKellen one.
Do yourself a favor and watch New Mutants, by the way.
Oh, yeah, I need to do that still. Yeah. The McKellen one hasn't aged well. I don't like it. I think it's goofy.
It's weird, yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know why. Too roundy or too something.
Too exactly. Too bulbous on the outsides. Yeah.
I don't love it. Well, all right. There you go. A tighter look at the world of Magneto and his many friends. Let's
Dr. Calhoun. More like new mutants.
We see what you did, Dr. Calhoun.
Yeah, I think it is low bar, but it's easily better than the last four X-Men movies. I think for me it goes X2, First Class,
X1.
New Mutants, Days of Future Past.
Where do you put
the very
one?
First one?
Oh, you put the first one after Days of Future Past.
I put the first one after. I really like Days of Future Past, and there's the two different versions. There's the Rogue cut where Rogue sends Wolverine back in time, but then there's also the Kitty Pryde, the original theatrical release where it's Kitty Pryde.
Yeah, where do you put the third one? How far down the list is that?
Like, I think at the very bottom. Well, no, Dark Phoenix, it's tied for X-Men 3 okay. and
those Dark two Phoenix can those two can hang out together because they belong
they
together.
They can hang out together because they both really effed up one of the greatest storylines in comics.
Yeah, what a bummer, man.
Yeah.
I hope they hurry up and Marvel gets their shit going with that. I want to see what they do.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it. We're going to okay. do, I got a couple of texts here to read real quick. They are fun times. Hold on a second. Here it is. All right. We got one from Craig who says, morning, Scott and Brian. Two quick questions. Number one, Brian keeps talking about going to newspapers to set up their computers. Why did he need to go back home need to go back more than once? So what's the answer to that for
to install for, when the retail ad department would take over the classified ad or get more people from the classified ad department, you saw a rise in retail advertising and then a drop in classified. So they'd move people over. And so I'd need to go and install the software on all their computers. Plus, sometimes the trainers would just go out and do training in a training lab at the facility and not use the employee laptops that we've already installed things on. So,
oh, gotcha.
So I'd go back there and just install the training lab. Also be there to support the trainer. And
This is all follow up stuff too. Like you got
it's all follow up stuff. Yeah.
They're clients, they're customers.
I think I went to the Seattle Times more than any other newspaper, and I probably went there five or six times. Probably.
Oh, you had to go to that airport every time.
SeaTac, yeah. Yeah.
It's like a barren wasteland in there. I hate it.
It didn't used to be as bad as it is, but yeah.
It's just gross now. They need to redo it.
Yeah.
Just saying.
They do.
So you know what? In Salt Lake International, same problem. And they did. They redid it. So now we got a new one. So now it's your turn, Seattle. Let's see what you got.
I don't think I've flown into SeaTac in the last 15 years. I think the last time Tristan was about 10 and we went on a drive down the Pacific Coast Highway from Seattle all the way down to Los Angeles.
Oh, nice.
Which was incredible.
Yeah, that's a cool run there. His second question, what 3D printer does Brian recommend to get a hobbyist that would be a step above beginner so they don't need to upgrade too soon?
Yeah.
What would you say there?
I've been loving Anycubic. So I've got the Anycubic Cobra Max, and the support that I've gotten from Anycubic, because I broke off, I printed a fan shroud, which basically redirects the air from the fans right to the nozzle so that as it's laying down a line of filament, it immediately hardens.
Oh, nice.
It immediately Marcia Gay hardens. So you know, as I was building that thing, it meant I had to take off the print head. And as I was doing that, I broke off one of the pins that some of the things plug into. As a matter of fact, one of the fans plugs into, I broke off one of the pins.
Oops.
And I said, you know, I wrote them an email, said, hey, I bought this thing a month ago. I broke off one of the pins. Tell me how much it'll cost because I had to rebuy the whole circuit board that had all of those connections on it. And they're like, no, we want you to be happy and satisfied with your purchase. We are sending one to you. You'll have it in a couple of weeks because it does come from China. Yeah. They didn't make me pay for it. They did. They paid for shipping. They paid for the part, wow. Even though I completely broke it, fessed up, I broke it. So I would recommend any of the Anycubic ones that you can get. The Cobra regular is really good. The Cobra Max is what I have, and it's big enough obviously to do giant helmets.
Yeah.
But they're by all accounts, their other 3D printers are really, really good.
All right. Well, there you go. Some recommendations for you.
And Dice Tomato asks, which SLA printer do I have? And I have a Frozen Sonic Mighty 4K. So it's the large format Sonic so that I can print ginormous Magnetos. Apparently I have a Magneto fetish, but I've shown this guy off before. Like,
you
basically
like Magneto. Yeah.
That's one piece on the Frozen Sonic Mighty.
Sonic Mighty sounds like a video game from Sega, and then the Frozen is the DLC.
That's and, right. Exactly.
4K is what you view it in. So there you go.
So I think as I do my helmet, I think I'm going to also use the same spray paint on this guy too.
Yeah. There you go. That one's awesome. I really like that one.
Yeah. That came out so clean and beautiful.
Very, very nice. Here's one more quick text from Adrian. Who says, dear Stubing and Bricker. I like that. That's good.
Yeah.
Except you're a dirty doctor man.
I'm a sleazeball, horn dog doctor that takes advantage of his patients.
Yeah, and I'm an overly confident captain who barely does anything on the ship.
Gopher, please report to my office, Gopher.
Gopher, you need to... He's just always... I, you know what? I remember Steubing being different, too. All this stuff is different now.
Julie, will you please report to my office? Are you... Who's the latest man that's proposed to you, Julie?
That's right, Julie. Am I having dinner with the Wilsons tonight in the main deck dinner hall, Judy? It's lame.
Exactly, yeah.
Anyway, says, I do not fully understand. Neither take plums nor leave plums. Can you please explain? Thanks, Adrian. Yes, it's very simple. And I'm not going to do the whole thing as if it's, you know, I've never said it before, but basically it's a riddle, and the riddle goes like this. You're walking down a single path. In the middle of that path is a tree. There are plums on the tree. It's a plum tree. There are plums on the tree, and you neither take plums nor leave plums. How is that possible? That's the question. And the answer is, when people finally get around to it, or I have to give them the answer, is there are two plums. So you took a plum and left a plum. And the reason it works is because you say you neither took plums nor left plums.
Right.
It's plural. So you took a plum and left a plum. That's how the riddle works. That's the whole thing. That's the entire thing.
Yeah. And the day on the show that you did it, you read it in such a way that I don't think you even read it. You neither took plum, no plum. Like, you had stumbled a little bit in just the delivery of it. And I said, well, you just ignored the tree, and then you neither took or.
Yeah, no, it's actually, and that kind of works actually still. It even does. If I read it right. But yes. And then people always say, well, wait, how's that possible? Well, there are plums on the tree. You always have to tell people. And then they have to get their head around it, you know?
If Carter is ever looking for a TMS thing to animate, I think the take plums, leave plums discussion would be perfect.
That would be a good one to do, absolutely. Yeah. And also, I like this title submission just now. Claire submitted plum splaining. I like that.
I wish Icor's Again with the Plums would be a title, because I do like that. Again with the Plums.
Again with the Plums? Maybe we'll split them. One we'll read, one we'll put in. Who knows?
There you go.
Exactly. Anyway, thank you both for your texts. 801-471-0462 is where you send those. Quick show information today at 3:30 p.m. Me and Brian Dunaway will be doing an episode of Play Retro. We're looking at the old Dragon Quest games. They were also called Dragon... Oh, crap. I always forget the
original. Dragon Warrior.
Warrior, that's it.
Yep.
And we'll talk about why the name changed and why they didn't change right away and blah, 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 all that stuff. So if you're into it, be there. And still recommend highly the newest one, 11. Dragon Quest 11 is real good. It's a very good game. Anyway, I think that's it. Do you have any other shows going on today or anything
getting released? Soundography getting posted today. Finally starting the You Gotta Listen to This with one of mine. I think it was my recommendation for Hammond. So you'll hear what that was today at soundography.com.
Nice. And a quick note here to any new patrons that sign up today, okay, and stay for a full 30 days at least, I'm going to send you some free stuff that nobody else is going to get, okay? So every once in a while I like to do this. I like to throw some stickers together and say, hey, here's some free stuff for people that are cool. So sign up today. So it's December 6th. Anybody who signs up on this calendar date, we'll get some free prints in the mail, or free stickers, and maybe some prints. I'll throw it all in together. Patreon.com/TMS is where to do it. And then if you are signed up today for the first time, you'll get a special email from me asking for your details so I can send those out to you. Big thanks to everybody who signed up and is already a part of the Patreon family. That's patreon.com/TMS. For all other queries, head on over to frogpants.com/TMS. If you're here for a song to take us out, I have good news. Brian has one.
Amazing, isn't it?
Yep.
I do. And this one goes out to our fearless chat room leader. I'd say the leader of the tadpole. She's a queen of the Bannon kick, and her name is Jeannie. She says, greetings to my favorite hosts of anything ever.
Aww.
I've been at TMS Live since you started in January 2010, with the result that I'm out of birthday requests. So true. So pick me something, cover man. I like ska, Zydeco, Dixieland, and Calypso. Try that combo, smiley face. Signed, Jeannie.
I didn't know Jeannie liked ska.
Right?
That's amazing. Well, I don't know why. I just wouldn't have applied that to her. That's freaking great.
Well, it's a good thing she does, because we play a lot of it here. What we don't play a lot of is Zydeco. You hear that way down in the Louisiana Bayou and And it's always been a favorite of mine. I just really don't get around to playing very much of it. Until today, we got a good one coming up. It is a cover of Aerosmith's Walk This Way. There's a little bit of ska in here, too, so you do get a combo, Genie. You get Walk This Way by Aerosmith, covered by Zydekosis from their album Zydeco All Night from 2008. Here is Walk This Way.
Swinging like you didn't care. So I took a big chance at the high school dance with a miss she was ready to play. It wasn't me she was fooling, cause she knew what she was doing when she told me how to walk this way.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
Oh.